Public News Service Daily Newscast, August 12, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Former Vice President Joe Biden picked Senator Kamala Harris as his running mate Tuesday in the U.S. presidential elections. That from the New York Times. They report Harris is the first black woman and first black person of Indian descent to be nominated for national office on a major party ticket. The 55-year-old Harris is a career prosecutor in California and known as a pragmatic moderate. The Times briefing notes her supporters argue that she could reinforce Biden's appeal with black voters and women. She is only the fourth woman in U.S. history to be chosen for a presidential ticket for a major political party. Pennsylvania schools have new science-based metrics to guide them in deciding whether they should open for classroom instruction.
The recommendations issued Monday by the Departments of Health and Education use weekly rates of COVID infection by population and percent of positive test results in each county to determine the appropriate degree of opening for local schools, from in-person instruction to partial or full-time remote learning. Chris Lilienthal is with the Pennsylvania State Education Association, which represents school faculty and staff. He says PSEA is urging schools across the state to follow the recommendations.
Doing so will slow the spread of this virus and will give our communities and our parents confidence that our schools are safe to open for in-person instruction.
He adds earlier directives issued by the Departments of Health and Education make it clear that with few exceptions, all teachers and students must wear masks for in-person instruction. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
If you'd like to see them, the guidelines are online at education.pa.gov. And just like traditional colleges, California's education programs for people in prison have had to make huge changes in the wake of the pandemic.
Even as Congress decides whether to make permanent the program that sustains them. Robert Rehnquist with Chaffey College in Southern California says his institution has transitioned to a correspondence course model until it's safe to return to in-person learning.
Previously, faculty would go in and teach their classes face-to-face. We also had tutoring centers and computer labs, as well as counselors. And because of the pandemic, we've no longer been able to access the facility for those types of opportunities.
The U.S. House of Representatives voted recently to make the Second Chance Pell program permanent as part of an appropriations bill, but it still needs to go to the Senate and then the president. Multiple California schools work with prisons to offer associate's and bachelor's degrees to incarcerated students. For Public News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
Over the past few years, more than 12,000 students in prisons nationwide have participated in the Second Chance Pell Grant program. This is PNS. Native American educators say they're in a tough bind preparing for classes this fall. Their communities are more vulnerable to COVID-19. Lance Whitty is a superintendent at a South Dakota tribal school. He says distance learning has its own problems because of internet access woes.
None of the turmoil and trauma that Native students face on a daily basis has gone away.
The CDC says Native Americans infected with COVID-19 have consistently higher hospitalization rates. And facing a shortage of poll workers due to the pandemic, Governor Larry Hogan has given the go-ahead to use voting centers in Maryland in place of 1,600 local polling places, that for the November 3rd presidential election.
The voting centers will be in about 360 locations, including high schools, and can be used by any voter in a county. The move comes after the Republican governor declared this will be a traditional in-person election. Tierra Bradford with Common Cause Maryland says it's a victory for local election officials and those who warned against opening so many polling places during a pandemic. Bradford still hopes Hogan will change his mind and call for a mail-in only vote.
The best way to carry out the election during times of these is to mail ballot to everyone and still have in-person voting as an option for people who may need it. But the majority of people most likely want to fill out their ballot through the mail just in order to stay safe and to protect themselves.
In a letter to the Board of Elections on Monday, Hogan said he remains very concerned about the plan's potential of creating long lines in unsafe conditions with crowds of people forced into too few polling places. I'm Diane Bernard.
Finally, our Eric Gladys reports Medicaid rolls expected to increase by 500,000 people in Colorado during the pandemic, and that could wreak havoc on the state budget unless Congress approves additional relief.
Adela Flores-Brennan with the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative says one in three Coloradans could turn to Medicaid for health coverage in the near future with the surge in unemployment and loss of employer-based health insurance.
It plays a really critical role in a pandemic because it provides low-cost or no-cost health care to people who need it. And there is no time like the present that better demonstrates why we need health care for everybody in Colorado.
In May, the U.S. House passed the HEROES Act, which included additional funding for state Medicaid expenses, but aid packages stalled in the Senate before Congress adjourned for its August recess. President Donald Trump signed a series of executive orders over the weekend promising aid for some Americans, but none addressed Medicaid.
Some 93,000 essential workers in Colorado and one in three people with disabilities currently get their health coverage through Medicaid. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and always online at publicnewsservice.org.